Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Praise God. First of all, I'd like to add to the prayers. I'd like to pray for Pastor Todd and Nikki today, and before we start. And Father, we just thank you and praise you for our pastors. We thank you, Father, that they're on vacation getting a resting today. And we just thank you for your anointing upon them, your refreshing. And we just thank you, Father, that you energize them and continue to use them, give them safe passage and give them wisdom and understanding and insight, Father, and speak to them anew, speak to them afresh, and rekindle old embers and start new fires in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you, the presence of God is here. Can you sense it? Praise God. So what I wanted to do today was, this is the third part of a message, getting in alignment, and I think Pastor Todd had started speaking about that. And the thing I wanted to say first was, you know, most of the time when you're talking about getting in the alignment, getting in your place, people think about a position, you know, whether it's working in the church in the nursery or becoming an usher or a love or working in sound or something like that. And all of that's important. But something has to happen inside first. You know, because you have people that work in nurseries for 20 or 30 years, but nothing's happening inside to grow them. So what I wanted to do today was make sure that we get some, you know, a lot of times that we say things, catch phrases, you know, like faith is in your mouth and in two places, in your heart and your mouth. And sometimes people get lost with that. So I just wanted to kind of open that up to give you some insight on what those, you know, things like that mean, you know. So I'm going to have Mike Dove read some scripture for me. And we're going to start, you know, our key scripture was Isaiah 55. And after he reads that, I want to ask you guys a question. Okay.
Wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty. Come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price, simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for what does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, the profuseness of spiritual joy. Incline your ear, submit and consent to the divine will, and come to me. Hear, and your soul will revive, and I will make an everlasting covenant or league with you, even the sure mercy, kindness, goodwill, and compassion promised to David. Behold, I have appointed him, David, as a representative of the Messiah, or the Messiah himself to be a witness, one who shall testify of salvation to the nations, a prince and commander to the peoples. Behold, you, Israel, shall call nations that you know not, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek, inquire for, and require the Lord while he may be found, claiming him by necessity and by right. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have love, pity, and mercy for him and to our God, for he will multiply to him his abundant pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens, and return not there again, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect, useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out from the spiritual exile caused by sin and evil, into the homeland with joy, and be led forth by your leader, the Lord himself and his word, with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name of renown, for an everlasting sign of jubilant exultation, and memorial to his praise, which shall not be cut off.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God. So the question I wanted to ask, I guess, did we pass out some of those flyers? Okay. What is, you know, he's asking, hey, come get what I'm offering you without money. Come buy it without a price, without money, without bartering. So what is the price that he's asking for if it's not money? You know what it is? He said self-surrender. He said listen and heed and look. What he wants, you know how you buy it? With your attention. He wants you to buy the sure mercies of David, the loving kindness of God, simply by paying attention. That's your trading card. And everybody has that opportunity. So no one can be left out, rich or poor. Everybody can either pay attention or ignore. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, I'm going to cause the sure mercies to come on you by something. He says, I'm going to send just as the rain and the snow fall from heaven, I'm going to send my word. And just as the rain and the snow waters the earth and causes it to sprout, I'm going to send my word and it will have an effect and not return back to me void, and it will cause the earth to sprout. It will cause the kingdom of God to grow. So his intention is, by sending his word, that you would get a glimpse into the kingdom of God. That you would get a glimpse into the working of the kingdom of God. That you would start to understand him. That's his purpose. Self-surrender your attention. We don't always do that. Proverbs 29:18 says this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no insight, where there is no hearing, where there is no seeing, where there is no understanding of redemption, people just waste away and perish. I mean, we've all seen that. We've seen people perish and we can't understand, why don't they try something different? Why don't they see? Why don't they hear? So one of the other scriptures that we use was in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And it's the faith. The 11th chapter, the first verse says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We've all heard that. And so it says that faith is a substance. So this is sort of a review for what we were talking about last time. Faith is a substance of something imagined. Look at it this way. The ingredients of concrete is limestone, sand, and gravel mixed with water. And you can put that mixture together and put water in it, and it's pliable, and you can build with it. You can lay down pavement with it. You can mold it. You can make it. And when it solidifies, it's as hard as steel, right? Strong as steel. Set in place. Guess what? The ingredients of faith is, it says, the word of God, a word like a seed, and your imagination. and the streams of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's pliable. It's up to you whether it's going to settle in or not. And when it settles in and gets hard, guess what that is? It's what you believe. Faith leads to your convictions. Faith leads to something that you've built or set as a standard. So you can have a man who runs from a lion on the Serengeti, and the same man, because he said in his mind, he can run from a spider or a cricket. We know anybody like that? We know somebody like that, don't we? To that man, a spider or a cricket is just as big or as dangerous as a lion. Haven't we all seen that? I don't want to go outside. There's bugs out there. Okay. But to them, it's real. Hebrews 12:2, I believe, says, hey, that God is the author and the finisher of this whole thing. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. So he's begun it for you, and he's going to end it for you. And he's going to carry us through the middle part. So there's a story about one of the college football teams. And so their coaches wanted to see what kind of effect that they had on their players. So they wanted to find out how convincing they were. They wanted to find out if the players were even listening to them. So what they did was they brought the team doctors in, and they brought the players in, and they said, you know, it comes to find out that we have an outbreak of a serious illness, disease here on the team, and it's pretty contagious. And, you know, they told the kids that. They made it up. 3 days' time, all of the team, each one of the players, developed the symptoms that they had told them. They had convinced themselves of a disease that didn't exist. They said, well, if we can do that, the opposite, you know, if they'd done that nowadays, they would be on probation and all of the coaches would be fired and, you know, it'd be all over social media and everything else. But that's amazing. They brought them in and told them of a fictitious disease and told them the symptoms, and every one of the kids on that team developed the symptoms. Wow. We can do the same thing, either for the good or for the bad. God can tell us of his goodness, his loving kindness, and his mercy. Because it's easy to go the opposite way. Right? So, 1 Corinthians. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. I'm going to get you to read that, Mike.
Okay. As for myself, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony and evidence or mystery and secret of God concerning what he has done through Christ for the salvation of men in lofty words of eloquence or human philosophy and wisdom. For I resolved to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing among you except Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and him crucified. And I was passed into a state of weakness and fear with dread and great trembling after I had come among you. And my language and my message were not set forth in persuasive, enticing, and plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power, approved by the Spirit and power of God, operating on me and stirring in the minds of my hearers the most holy emotions and thus persuading them, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, human philosophy, but in the power of God. Yet when we were among the full-grown, spiritually mature Christians who are ripe in understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom, the knowledge of the divine plan previously hidden. But it is indeed not a wisdom of this present age or of the world, nor of the leaders and rulers of this age who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away, but rather what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God, once hidden from the human understanding and now revealed to us by God, that wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification to lift us into the glory of his presence. None of the rulers of this age or world perceived and recognized and understood this, for if they had, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. But on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made, and keeps ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. Yet to us God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. For what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts, except the man's own spirit within him? Just so no one discerns, comes to know, and comprehend the thoughts of God, except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God.
Keep going. Yeah, read 16. You might have to read it up.
Skip down to 16.
Yes.
For who has known or understood the mind, counsels, and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart.
Praise God. Boy, that's good. Listen, he said that the natural man, people that are not born again, they can't understand the mind of God. You can be the person sitting right next to you, you have no idea what they're thinking. They might be thinking about work tomorrow. They might be thinking about what they need to do today. They may be thinking about a loved one. Okay? But he says, only the person themselves know what they're thinking about. Guess what the gift he said that you are able to understand and know the thoughts of God. He's provided that for you. In other words, he's provided wisdom and insight and opened himself up to you so that you could be a success, so that you can be a demonstration of God's love on the earth. When people see you, they see the kingdom of God. They see something different about you. It's God in you, the hope of glory. It's God in your children, the hope of glory. It's God with you, the hope of glory. It's God for you, the hope of glory. Religion wouldn't want you to know that. It's God promoting you. It's God lifting you up. It's God carrying you along. It's God healing you. All of that's in his mind, and it's for you. Okay. Y'all ready? Hold on to your seats. Okay. Listen. Neuroscientists, anybody knows what the speed of thought is? Got any guesses? They say it's 200 miles per hour. That is the speed that Kevin Harvick races his race car. The closer. That is the speed that Joey Logano races his race car, his NASCAR. Mr. Sliced Bread. That is the speed that Jimmy Johnson races his NASCAR. That is the speed that Martin Truex Jr. races his race car. That is not the speed that Richard Caldwell races his race car. Because we need him to still be here. That is the speed that Dusty drives his Corvette. With Wanda saying, "Giddy up, baby, giddy up." The speed of thought is 200 miles an hour. Now, I'm not a race car fan. It holds my attention about 5 to 10 minutes. But listen, it's interesting. Those who've gone to race car, to racing events, and on the TV, they put the microphone right beside the track. And you turn the channel, and the cars are going, boom, 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 boom. That's awesome. That's also how thoughts go through our minds sometimes. Boom, 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 boom. We can't sit on a thought 2 minutes. Yoom, 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 yoom. Oh, we're racing now, baby. Put the pedal to the metal. This is how we are. We're praising the Lord. Every word is to our God. Well, I hope this doesn't go too long today. Every word of worship with one accord. That's a nice pair of shoes she got on. I hope I remember to ask her where she got them from. Every praise is to our. Did I turn on the crock pot? Did I shift? Auto shift to, did I even turn it on? Man, I got a lot of stuff to do when I leave here. I got to wash clothes and I got to get ready for tomorrow. Glory to God in the highest. It sure is cold in here. Lord, child, I'm having hot flashes. Every praise is to our God. Boom. Boom, 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 boom. That's the way we are. No mental discipline. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Man, I hope they don't lay hands on people today and have a long line. Every praise is to our God. I'm going to pray when I get in the car on the way to work. Hallelujah. Why don't you watch where you're going, you idiot? In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 200 miles an hour. Boom. Boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. Did y'all hear about the controversy they had over one of the NASCAR races? They had to nullify the results. You didn't hear about that? What? You didn't hear about that? What'd you say, Kelvin? Oh, yeah? What you doing, making that up? Is that true? Well, let me tell you about the one I saw. We may need a usher down here. Get ready, Saul. If he rushes the pulpit, take him down. All right. So you know they're racing for the Monster Energy NASCAR Championship. See? I know a little bit. A little bit. And I do know that Joey Logano won. Okay? See, I know a little bit, right? Isn't that right, Dusty? Just a little bit. So, one of the races were going on, and, you know, they're trying to narrow it down to certain races to race for the, you know, down to 4 or 8 in the finals, right? Right, Kelvin?
Right.
Yeah. Well, it had one of the super speedways, and they were coming down to the finish line, and they're like 5 or 6 across. It was the Bush Boys, Chase Elliott, Martin Truex Jr., Joey Logano, Kevin Larson, Kyle Larson, Kevin Harvick, and out of the pack comes the Red Rocket. He takes the checkered flag. Y'all ever heard of the Red Rocket? Red's the Red Rocket. And they're going to interview him at the end of the race and stuff. And they said, well, Rocket, we want to congratulate you on your win. He said, yeah. He said, milk for everybody. And he says, what do you attribute your win to? He said, well, glory to God. I give honor to God, to my race team, my pit team, and my Mule Hill Buck. He said, your what? He said, my Mule Hill Buck. And he says, well, it seems as though there was a little controversy there. They said that you jumped in the race the last couple of 100 yards off the infield. Well, that's a matter of opinion, you know. So he said, we noticed that you were having a little trouble there. He, you know, you were limping a little bit. He says, well, Buck threw a shoe back there on turn 3, and I ought to passed a few more of them fellers if it hadn't been for that. But we went to 3-leg races, and then we pulled it out. So he said, well, we noticed that you kept whispering something in Buck's ear as you were coming down the finish line here. Could you tell us what you were whispering? He said, I'd lean over in old Buck's ear, and I'd pull his ear flap up, and I'd say, boogity, boogity, boogity. And it seems that would do the trick. Milk for everybody. That's the way we are with our minds sometimes. But that's the way God made us. God has made us to have an imagination, to create an atmosphere for his word, to make pictures. Those are some of the things we talked about last time. So, Dusty, could you come here for a minute? Everybody knows what this is? I didn't stump you, did I, Kelvin?
No.
Oh, okay. It's an could you cut that in half for me? It's an apple.
A red apple.
Yes, right. Oh, Lord, we don't need to give you anything sharp. All right, you got it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, what we have is an apple. And we sliced it open. Wanda doesn't let you use knives around the house. That's good? Okay. So what we have is an apple. And you know what this apple is? It's seed potential. It's seed potential. You know what? We can eat the outside of this apple and be satisfied, and throw the core away with the seed, and all you've had is one meal. All you've had is the fruit from it. You know, you might not have enough money to pay your bills, and you can believe God and pray to God, and he can give you the money to pay that bill, and it's paid, and then guess what? Maybe next month you need the money again. It's like a man saying, I can give you a fish, or I can teach you to fish. There's a big difference. You know, I can eat the outside of this apple and it's delicious. Right? Or I can take the seeds out and I can dry those seeds out and put them in the ground and it will grow an apple. Right? It will not grow an apple. Oh my God. And y'all talking about Trisha. Don't you ever talk about Trisha again. She didn't even know what potatoes were. An apple seed will grow an apple. An apple seed will grow a
tree.
Oh my God. My wife could have asked her kindergartners that question and they would have gotten it right. An apple seed will grow a tree. And God, you're gonna have to work with these people. That's I can see what the problem. It will grow a tree, and the tree will what? Oh, you guys are rolling now, baby. You got the NASCAR, you got this car going on the track in the right direction. Okay, the tree will grow an apple, and the tree will grow an apple every season so that you not only can eat, but other people can eat. The word of God is a seed that if you plant it in a heart, it will grow the kingdom of God, which you can eat all kinds of fruit from. That's seed potential. This has got seed potential in it. The word of God is seed potential. You can take this apple and eat it and throw the seed, the core away with the seeds in it, and how much potential does the seed have then? I mean, it still has potential, but nothing's going to happen. You can take the word of God and it'll be spoken to you over and over and over, but if it's not planted in your heart and you fertilize it with your imagination and it's not in the right attitude or atmosphere, climate, it will do nothing. We've also seen that. Right? Isn't that, that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, God uses all kinds of lessons there. You guys needed a jump start, but working with you. Boom. Boom, boom, boom. We don't want to be like that. Check this out. Psalms, this is not on the list, but Psalms 1. Blessed, fortunate, happy, to be envied is the man. Is the man who what? The man who walks not in the. He doesn't listen to what they say. He doesn't listen to what the world says about situations. He doesn't listen to what the world says about the president. He doesn't listen to what the world says about your children. He doesn't walk in their counsel. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. When you stand with somebody, you agree with them. He doesn't agree with sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. In other words, if he's sitting with them, he's in covenant with them. He's not in covenant with scorners. Scorners are stone throwers. You know what stone throwers are? Scorners, throwers. Got those guys? They're modern day people who criticize everybody that's throwing a stone. Wow. Ever been a part of that? Don't want to be a part of that. Right? Whew. But his delight is in the and in that law he does. And he shall be like a
tree
planted by the rivers of
water.
There shall bring forth fruit in its
season.
and his leaves shall not. Wow. Blessed, happy, fortunate. You know what blessed means? Blessed means when they put a blessing on you, they put a presence on you. They put an anointing on you. So he says, that's the person who has the presence of God. You know, we have a Bible. Well, most Christians should have a Bible. Or they have access to the Word. And the Word is just another form of Jesus. But if you never read it, you never spend time with Jesus. So you said, I'm spending time with Jesus. Ooh, ooh. And you don't read? Or know what it says? Or let somebody read it to you? Or speaking it? Or singing it? That's spending the time. They made it easy for, they wrote it down for us. Blessed is the man who spends time in it, who meditates, who mutters, who talks to himself about it. We talked last time about speaking to what God has showed you, speaking to what God you've heard God say, speaking to an image, speaking to a picture. Has God given you a promise? He's given us all promises, precious, great and exceeding promises of healing and health and prosperity. And prosperity is more than just having money, because you got a lot of people who got money who are miserable. And I'm not saying anything against money. I remember Pat Robinson said one time on this program, I was watching, and he said, and they were talking about wealth and money, and he said, hey, money can't buy your happiness. And Ben Kinslow said, I'd like to try that for myself. It can't buy you. It sure can solve a lot of problems. And God is meant for us to have that, but not have our love on money. He's meant for you to have all of your bills paid. He's meant for you to have enough to give to bless others. He's meant for you to have enough to bless the kingdom, to multiply the kingdom, to increase the kingdom. Amen. That's his intention. You are the planting of the Lord. Yes. You are, the kingdom of God lives in you. That's what he wants you to see today. That's what he wants you to see. Can I have the ushers? Could you bring a couple of baskets up here? Because we're gonna give our offering now. Because I want to talk to you about something. You know, we talked about having a picture or an image and then speaking to it. I want to talk to you now about giving into it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It goes beyond our senses. You can see it. You can hear it. You can have it. This is the season that requires great faith. For words of doubt all around us, we're standing on his promises. And when people ask you how you're gonna do when you do what God showed you to do, you just say, for the rest of my life, I'm not making sense. I'm making faith. Don't know how I'm gonna get there, but I'm gonna walk by faith. Don't know how I'm gonna live there, But the just shall live by faith. And when people ask you, how are you going to do school, guard? You just say, for the rest of my life, I'm just making faith. For the rest of my life, I'm just making faith. When they ask you how your children are doing, you just said, I'm not making sense. I'm speaking faith. When they ask you how your finances are, you say, I'm not making sense. I'm trusting faith. When they ask you, are you afraid of the climate, of what's going on? You just said, I'm not trusting in sins. I'm trusting faith. That's where we are. We're making faith here. I'm trying to show you how faith is created. It's created by God's word. And it's created by mixing it with your imagination. Mixing it with your trust. Mixing it. Mixing the ingredients. You can win every time if you have the right mixture. If Dusty tries to make a cake, I'm going to be Larry. If Wanda makes a cake, I'm going to be there to eat it. Now, Dusty, can you make a cake? You can? Okay, let me. Wanda, you talk. Oh, baby. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, my God. Wanda, can he make a cake? Okay. We may need some altar work.
My mama taught me how to make a cake. Great job, I made some back then.
Back then. Wanda has not seen you make one. Okay. Oh, Lord. Usher's coming. No. Listen. God has spoken a promise to all of us. God has spoken promises to us about our children. God has spoken promises to us about our grandchildren, whether they're here or imaginary or in the future. God has spoken to us about our finances. God has spoken to us about our health. God has spoken to us about the kingdom of God. God has spoken to us about how he's going to use us. God has spoken to us about Operation School Guard. God has spoken to us about a lot of things. That's what you're going to give into. You know why? Because you're making an exchange of what you believe. You're saying, Lord, the kingdom of God is just as real as this natural. Matter of fact, it's more real. It's what created this natural. And that's what I'm giving into, Lord. I've got a word from you, and that's what I'm giving into. I got a promise from you, and that's what I'm giving into. So that's what we want to do today. Okay? Hey, we're just going to have you walk up and give your tithes and your offering, okay? We're not finished yet, but we're getting there. And when people ask you, how you gonna do when you do what God showed you to do, you just say, for the rest of my life, I'm not making sense. I'm sowing faith. I'm not making sense. I'm sowing faith. Glory. Glory. Let me show you that in the scriptures. Could you turn to Genesis, the 14th chapter? And I'll give you a little background, and then we're going to just read two scriptures, the 18th and the 19th verse. And this is about Abraham and Lot. And, you know, they have separated, and Lot's going down to Zoar near Sodom. And the king of Sodom, the king of Zoar, and the king of Gomorrah, and two other kings have joined together, and they have been paying homage, been paying tribute to King, I can't even remember what his name was. So they were paying tribute to some other kings because those kings had conquered them or had made forced them to pay tribute. And so they decided, after 13 years, we're just going to rebel. We're not going to be paying any more tribute to them. So the king, the king decided, we're going to put them in their place. So they went to war, five kings against four kings. And so the four kings that they had been paying tribute to conquered them. They took the people from Sodom and Gomorrah and Zoar. They took the goods and they took everything, and they took Lot. And so one of the guys, the servants, had escaped, and he came to tell Abraham. He says, your nephew, almost cousin, nephew Lot has been captured. And so Abraham gets his 318 servants, people in his house together. 318 is going to be against four kings. So they go and they rescue Lot with 318 people against four armies. Now, I don't know about you, but 318 to several thousands, that just doesn't compute. But when God's involved, it's a winning formula. When God's involved in your business, it's a winning formula. Doesn't matter how much you have, it's what God has. Okay? When God's involved in your business, it's a winning formula. Okay? So Abraham went out and he conquered them, and he got all of the people. He got all of the goods back, and he conquered all of the stuff from the four kings. Okay? So he comes back, and who comes out to meet him, Mike? You can read 18 and 19.
Melchizedek.
Okay.
King of Salem, later called Jerusalem, brought out bread and wine for their nourishment. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed them and said, "Blessed, favored with blessings, made blissful, joyful be Abram by God Most High, possessor and maker of heaven and earth."
You know what that was? That was an eternal priest putting a blessing, saying that, "Hey, Abraham, you're blessed by God." And he also says, "Blessed be God, the possessor of heaven and earth." You know what he was doing? It was a covenant meal. And God's on the scene, and Abraham's on the scene, and he's saying, "The blessing is between you. The covenant is between you." And guess what? When he did that, what did Abraham do? He gave him time. Abraham saw something, and because what he saw, he gave into it. He gave his tithe into it. That's what we just did. There's a better description of that over in Hebrews, the 7th chapter. We won't turn there, but that's what it's talking about. He saw something he gave into. He gave into the kingdom of God. He says, "Blessed." In other words, God is with you. God is upon you. God has a covenant with you. And that's what Melchizedek said. He was a representative of Jesus. Now, when you've received Jesus, you've received the same covenant. In chapter 15, he goes on and God appears, because God is with him. Now, God's going to prove something to him. God comes to him and says, hey, all of that land in Canaan, all of the land of the Amorites and the lands of the Hivites and all of that land, I'm giving to you and your descendants. Hey, come on over here, out here. Look up in the sky. You see all of those stars? That's your family. That's a near relative. That's a distant relative. That's a relative way down there. That has a head like Kelvin. That's way in the future. And so, listen. So Abraham had something to hang his hat on. He could now, every time he saw the stars, use his imagination and said, oh, my family is multiplied like the sands of the sea, like the sands on the beach, and the stars in the sky. How would you like to have that many grandchildren, Elaine? Leslie said, I'm scared. How would you like to have that many? They say that's your kingdom. You're going to be a great man. And God kept talking to him like that. He's talking to you, saying, hey, I'm with you. I've shown you some stuff. I'm with you. So he gave into that. He gave his tithes into it. That's what he gave into. So not only do we have a picture or make images, we speak to it. We give into it. You know what? That formula can't lose. How about Romans? Romans, the 4th chapter, the 18th verse and the 20th verse.
For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubting or questioning concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God.
He grew strong in what he had heard God say and in the promises as he did what? As he did what, Mike?
As he glory did what? Gave praise and glory to God.
As he did what?
Praise and glory to
God. Oh, come on, guys. As he did what? As he did what? It made him strong. So we have praise and worship. Why? Don't stand in the vestibule. Come in and get strong. Get strong in your faith as you go along during the day. As he praised and worshiped God, this 100-year-old man fathered a child. It had an effect on Sarah. She began to look like she was 18. Why would you say that, preacher? Because they went into town and Abimelech saw her and his men said, they don't say, have you seen that 95-year-old woman over there? Boy, she got some hot wrinkles. I got to have her. Yeah, King, you got to have her. She might produce some wrinkle babies. The man said, when they see you, they might want to kill me to get you. And besides, the Bible actually said that she was exceedingly fair. And that didn't mean honest in her dealings. That means she was hot. You shouldn't talk like that, preacher. Well, once you get 50 yards from this building, most of y'all usually do. come up in here being cute and religious. Stop it. Y'all got me sounding like Stephen A. Smith. Stop it. It affected her. She laughed at first. At first. Would you like to look like you were when you were 18? All right. Word with it. We're going to need those ushers again. So, hey, boom, boom, boom. Let those start good. Boom. Okay. Next. So, listen, it affected them. He began to worship. He began to worship. Not only to give, but he began to worship. You begin to give into what God has shown you, and you begin to speak into what God has shown you, and you begin to worship. You grow strong in what he's told you. It becomes concrete. You can't be moved. Over in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we call it the heroes of faith, right? From verse 3 on to about verse 41. We're not going to have 40 or 41. We're not going to have Mike read that. We got to beat the Baptist to old Charles. Okay, Red Lobster. Okay, so listen. We call them the heroes of faith. Have you guys read that? It said some people receive their dead loved ones raised to life. Some people shut the mouths of lions. Some people, he kept going down. Those people believed. And they received. Those people were set in their heart. And they got what God promised them. Yeah, there's seasons in our lives. But they believed. God is asking you to believe that, hey, you're citizens of the kingdom of God. Empowered with Jesus himself. You know, like Nike says, just do it. Those heroes of faith are looking over the corridors of heaven. It said they're a cloud of witnesses. And they're cheering you on right now. They're saying, you can do it. We did it. This is a better season. You can do it too. Nothing can stop you. Listen, if you got a promise from God, if you got a promise from God, if you got a dream from God, if you got a word from God, if you got a picture from God, you can win. If you got a word and God is for you, who can be against you? If you got a dream, and God is on your side, how can you be denied? If you got a promise for your children and God is on your side, God is for you, who can be against you? If God is backing you, you can't be denied. Your trust, your faith becomes solid in him. He's backing you. When David went out to meet Goliath, Goliath had an armor bearer. We were at Friday Night Philip, and I said, you know, there's two giants there. And Carol said, well, how do you know the armor bearer was a giant? I said, the man Goliath was wearing 125-pound shirt. A 140-pound man can't carry around a 125-pound shirt. You let a 145-pound man try to carry around a 45-plate saw all day long. But David had God with him. It makes a difference. You have God with you.
If God is for you, who can be against you? If God is on your side, you cannot be denied. Amen? Praise God. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you're on our side. We thank you, Father, that you cause us to give into your kingdom. You cause us to worship in your kingdom. You cause us to speak to what we've seen, your goodness, your mercy, and your loving kindness. And we just thank you, Father, now for your word, what you've shown us. We thank you for the revelations that you've shown us individually and as a corporate body. And Father, we thank you that those seeds are planted. Just like a pregnant woman provides the atmosphere, the climate, the food, the nourishment for a baby that's in her womb to be delivered. You, Father, you provide everything that we need. That we are blessed with the power of your presence, with your goodness, that we deliver the things that you have planned for us. Good things. Special things. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.